Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Dori Shafrir.
I am Kate Spencer.
And we're not experts.
No, but we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and thoughts, and we answer your questions to the best of our ability.
And please remember, we are not experts, we're just podcast hosts, and so we always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or a mental health professional. As needed.
And if you'd like to reach us, the number where you can leave us a voicemail or send us a text is 781-591-0390. And our email is forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And I should tell you that one of my kids is printing something in the printer next to me. So if you hear the sweet sounds of a printer humming along, Dori, that's what that is.
Oh, lovely.
It's nonstop over here in Zoom school.
Wow.
Let me also mention that you can visit our website, Forever 35 Podcast, for links to everything we talk about on the show. You can follow us on Twitter at Forever 35 Pod, Instagram at Forever 35 Podcast. We've got a Forever 35 Facebook group where the password is serums, and there is even a Forever 35 subreddit.
It's true. Kate, how's it going?
Well, I'm basking in the glow of one of my kids' birthdays. And my oldest daughter turned 10, which feels like a very big deal for her. Yes. But like for me, it's just is like, what, a decade of this? And also I'm 10 years older and like you're also like a tiny woman or excuse me, like tiny adult person. I don't know. We did it all remotely, which, you know, it worked out really well, but it was also like kind of made me weepy the whole time. And she did a Zoom movie night. So,
oh, that's so fun. What movie?
They watched Lego Movie 2.
Oh.
We had everybody cue it up on their own TVs.
Oh.
And then she monitored the Zoom. She was like, I'll be in charge of the Zoom. they make you the host. They know so much about all this stuff. Like my other daughter was just mad at me because I didn't understand Google Slides very well, which is how she does all her schoolwork. So they're way ahead of me. They're so advanced now. But she hosted the Zoom and we made little goodie bags that we went and dropped off at people's houses remotely, which is really nice because we can say hi to people in our masks. And, it was also like, I have such social anxiety about parties that I had to hide in the bedroom while my husband dealt with it.
Oh my gosh.
It was really like, I was having a little bit of a meltdown. And I don't know if anybody else gets this way, but I'm so worried about every person and making sure like everyone's happy and included and blah, 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 that it gives me like massive agita. So I let them handle it. They're very chill. Everyone else in my family is very chill. But what it did bring up, because she's 10. And so my husband and I have been talking, you know, to our family about like reminiscing about her birth and what happened 10 years ago. And, you know, I had a really traumatic labor and birth with her. And I don't think I realized like how much it still is hard for my husband and I, like, and not just for me, like for him. And I also had never really thought about how it traumatized him and what his experience was like.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of wondering if I need to do a little bit of like work on processing it. Even though it was 10 years ago, I mean, look, that means nothing. It was a really fucked up experience. And like, I think I'm only, because I tend to be a self-deprecating person, I don't tend to give the things I experience a lot of weight. And I'm kind of realizing like, oh no, it was really traumatic. It really impacted us as like a couple and individuals. And like, I should probably like look at that a little bit more and examine it a little bit more. So that's something I'm thinking about. A lot of people have recommended EMDR.
I've never done it, but people love it.
Yeah, it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So that's something I'm kind of thinking about exploring a little bit. Might be hard to facilitate right now from home, but it's something I have therapy right now once a month. So I'm like adding this to my list of things to talk about in therapy.
Yeah, I was going to ask, have you ever talked about it in therapy?
No, because I think like in my brain, I'm just like, oh, that's a thing that happened. But like the short version is I had a very fast and rapid labor that was very painful in a birthing center. And when it was time to push, they did a vaginal exam and realized she had flipped in labor and I had to be rushed to an emergency C-section. She was transverse breech, meaning she was trying to come out essentially butt first. Like they went to feel her head and they felt a butt, which is a great story that we love to talk about in our house. But then the actual, like the transition from the birthing center to the floor down in the hospital to the operating room was very stressful and they were kind of yelling. It was a lot of commotion. My body was trying to push her out, but they were telling me not to push. Ugh. I had to get a spinal, which is like the epidural, on the operating table. And then I started to kind of have a panic attack. So they drugged me. So I fell asleep.
Oh God.
So I wasn't awake when she was born. So my husband was watching all this kind of go on. And then while I was in the operating room, I was robbed. So my wallet and my phone were taken from my bag.
So awful.
Which was in a waiting room. And then to top all this off, I had what's called a spinal headache that wasn't really handled properly. So it went on for way too long. And then I had to go back to the hospital to get what's called a blood patch. And so it was a lot of physical and emotional trauma. And I'm just kind of, now I'm kind of like, oh shit, I ought to figure this out. So there we go. I know I'm not the only one who's had a really crazy, challenging birth experience. I know you've had one. I know lots of people have. And it's just led me to kind of, wow, I'm really rambling here, but just, you know, think about how we process these experiences in our life, whether or not it's childbirth, it could be anything where we kind of like compartmentalize. And especially with childbirth, we're like, well, my kid is healthy and that's all that matters. But then we kind of just push aside the really tough thing that you went through. And so I am thinking about that a lot right now. There we go.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting too, that you bring up your husband's trauma, because I still maintain that Henry's birth was more traumatic for Matt than it was for me. It was traumatic for me, but I think it was almost even more traumatic for him.
Yeah, as almost like a bystander, you know, your partner can't help.
Yeah, he felt powerless when all these things were happening to me. And I think especially for him, as someone who, you know, sees himself as someone who can always help, that was especially upsetting for him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been really interesting to think about for me too. I'd love to hear more about how he's feeling now, you know, 2 years out almost. And I'd be curious, anyone who's kind of, it doesn't need to be childbirth. I mean, we have many listeners who are not parents I'm not trying to just make it about the experience of having kids, but I just, this kind of like having a thing happen and then, I guess, compartmental, like not quite dealing with the challenges, right?
Totally.
I don't know. Anyway, so boy, I went on a tangent, but that's kind of what I've been thinking about lately.
Hey, we are here for all tangents, all traumatic birth stories. Just lay it on us.
Okay, well, thank you. And you know what?
You're welcome.
I don't want to reframe the narrative of my birth story. Like, I don't want
to
try
to.
I mean, not that you were telling me to, but I think, like, because we use that term so much, like, there is, there's also a part of me that's like,
what if you were like, stop telling me to reframe the narrative?
Take that keychain and shove it up your ass, Dory. No, but like, I also think there is another way to look at it of like, oh, like, I need to really acknowledge it for what it was rather than trying to like make applesauce out of apples. What's the word? Lemon out of lemonade.
Lemonade out of lemons.
Make applesauce out of apples. What am I talking about? Like sometimes I think it is a worthy thing to do to really examine your pain for what it is and not try to change it or sugarcoat it or find the silver lining or what have you.
Yeah.
Woo. Meanwhile, Dory, have you seen that plum face oil that Chrissy Teigen's using?
No, I haven't.
I would love to know if anybody is using this. It's called Le Prunier Plum Beauty Oil. Now, Chrissy Teigen's like been raving about it, and so, and it's now like selling out. But is it just another thing that we're all going to get swept up in?
I tend to fall into the camp of just another thing, but I'm willing to go into this with an open mind and have my mind changed.
Well, I might order it just for the, you know, for the sake of the podcast.
For the pod, yes.
For the pod.
Totally, totally.
Just for the pod.
I also just want to mention before we take a break that we forgot to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah on Friday's episode. But fortunately, since Hanukkah is 8 nights, we're still in Hanukkah as this episode comes out. So happy Hanukkah to anyone who's celebrating.
Yes.
I know we are celebrating. And
Do you and Matt give each other 8 gifts or do you just focus on Henry during Hanukkah?
No, we're just focusing on Henry during Hanukkah. We kind of do our, I mean, I give my gifts to Matt for Christmas. And I think we've kind of just decided that like Christmas is going to be the gift exchange time for the two of us. Maybe when Henry gets older and like is more sort of cognizant of what's going on, like we'll exchange some gifts between us. But right now I'm just doing it for him.
Well, Dory, I am wishing you and your family a bright and beautiful Hanukkah. And that goes to all the listeners out there who celebrate as well.
Thank you so much, Kate. All right. Well, let's take a short break and we will be right back.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come.
And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word. Don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, we're back with some important intel, I will say.
Yeah, I mean, who knew? This person texted us. They said, I'm writing in response to Kate wondering if frownies work. They do. I started getting a crease between my brows and light wrinkles across my forehead in my early 30s. I didn't want to spend on Botox, so tried frownies instead. They're a commitment, but I started seeing results after a few weeks. I wore them every night for about 5 years and was completely wrinkle-free. I eventually stopped out of laziness, but it took a couple of years before the wrinkles resurfaced. I refer to frownies as natural Botox. They basically do the same thing by weakening your forehead muscles, and I recently saw a derm who said she would have thought I had Botox if I hadn't told her about the frownies. Hope this intel is useful. Wow. Okay. Anyone who is feeling like that's their calling, let's go for those frownies.
I mean, I guess it does kind of make sense. You know, the way that you express yourself repeatedly is where you're going to get the most wrinkles, because that's the way your face is moving.
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued. I'm now back looking at the Frownies facial patch. Frownies.com, before and afters. I mean, look, hey, maybe they do work.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Listener, thanks for this intel. Thank you for doing this experiment for 5 years.
Yeah, my God.
What a commitment. Like, I can't even consistently brush my teeth. Like, I have not brushed them this morning. And this person for 5 years put frownies on their head.
I know. It's amazing.
I'm amazed by you. You are an inspiration. All right.
All right.
We've got an intense question.
We do. We're kind of veering into ask a manager territory here.
Very good point. You want to read this one, Dory?
I would love to. I know we have all had difficult bosses, but I'm writing today because I'm at my breaking point. Have either of you or anyone you know had success going through your company's HR department for support when you had a difficult boss? I work at a large company with about 7,000 employees. For the last 2 years, I've had managers who take micromanaging to the extreme. To be honest, it feels like they're trying to push me out and just get me to leave. My boss 2 years ago wrote a year-end review that was not accurate and accused me of not doing things that weren't even my job. She was promoted and a new guy was hired. I thought we had a good rapport and things were going well, And then 4 days after the end of the review period, he provides me with a performance improvement plan and states I'm not currently meeting expectations. It's been 2 years now since I've had a raise. My current boss is such a micromanager that he reached out to let me know I had unanswered emails that I received in the last 2 hours. These emails were not a high priority, and it would have been reasonable to respond by the end of the day. I'm afraid that if I go to HR, it will just cause more animosity between my manager and myself. I've started applying for other jobs, but I have this strong desire to do something. Feels like I'm being bullied, and I want to fight back in an appropriate way. I've been with this company for 16 years and would like to continue to work here, albeit in a different department. I've never had a bad review with the exception of the last 2 years. I've tried to understand how all the things that I do not count towards meeting my manager's expectations. I cannot seem to get a clear answer from him. It's like no matter what I do, it will never be enough. Do you think it will hurt me more than help me to seek the help from an HR rep?
Well, I should say I have not worked in a corporate job since 2014.
Okay, noted.
So I feel like I'm a little rusty. I think you should start by going to HR. At least then it is documented. I would print everything. Note everything, like start taking notes on all these kind of interactions that you're having that are pushing you to your breaking point. And then, there's no guarantee that HR will handle this in the appropriate way, but I do think like that is the next step. And I think you can express your concern that to the HR representative that you have been concerned that this is going to cause more animosity, but like you also need to advocate for yourself.
Yeah, honestly, it sounds like you're not only being bullied, but you're being gaslit.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with Kate that the more documentation you have, the better. Like what was on this performance improvement plan? What have you been doing to meet what has been set out for you? And what has your manager's response to that been? I would also bring up the review where you were taken to task for not doing things that weren't your job.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So, but I agree with Kate that the more documentation you have, the better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd also be curious to hear from if there are any employment lawyers who may want to weigh in on this.
Ooh, employment lawyers.
If there's, you know, anything she should be doing legally to kind of bolster her case here.
Perhaps an HR rep could weigh in.
Like, it almost sounds like you're being harassed.
It's something is, this is not, does not feel like appropriate managerial behavior.
No, it doesn't.
Right? Like, the unanswered emails that they received in the last 2 hours. Yeah.
And also, doesn't he have a job to do? Why is he monitoring your unread emails?
Yeah, that makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah. So.
I support you speaking up. I mean, there have been numerous times in my life where I have had really difficult bosses and not spoken up, and I really regret that. I think I was afraid it wouldn't. I had similar fears of like, this is just gonna, they're gonna find out, they're gonna be mad at me, it's gonna make it worse. But I wish I had at least like taken a step and seen what happened. So I support you in this endeavor, listener. I say go for it. Especially because they want to be at this company for six, they've been there for 16 years and want to continue to work there. It's not like you don't want to leave. You're not looking for a different job. Like you have every right to have a stake in this, like in your position there. So I would voice that too. Like you want to continue working there. This place is important to you. And I think you are right to fight for yourself here. Go for it.
I agree.
Switching gears to Ring story.
Great. Let's switch.
Had to pause the pod and write in for the listener who is looking for ring help. I'm not engaged, but I have two special rings that I've been wearing since I was 16 and I'm 28 now. You need ring dishes. I have dishes by every sink, by my bed, at my desk, and in other random places around the house so that I can always easily slip my rings off and never lose them. I also decorated a mini Altoid tin that I keep in my purse to always have a safe ring holder on the go. Another thing you can do when out and about is wear a thin necklace like a simple chain that you can slip your rings onto and clasp back around your neck if you need to take your rings off, but keep them securely on your person. I take my rings off to shower, wash my face, do dishes, cook, work out, went on an outdoor outing like hiking, and sometimes to sleep. Hope this helps.
Great suggestion.
So then another person wrote to us with a link for a ring holder necklace. They said, was just listening to the pod that mentions the newly engaged woman who removes her ring a lot and feels like she doesn't know what to do with it. Forgets to put it back on. Check these out. They can be placed on the necklace without taking the necklace off, and it keeps them safe. They are lifesavers. So they're these like ring holder necklaces with like this pendant that I believe you can just slip your ring onto, almost like you're doing one of those like physical puzzles. You know those puzzles like with the, they're like the ring and the, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. But anyway, they seem very popular with healthcare workers who can't have rings on their hands for various reasons, or anyone who works with their hands. These seem like a popular choice. So we will include the link that this listener sent to ring holder necklaces.
Great. Love it.
All right. And then one more recommendation. I'm writing to pass along a great idea for a ring cleaner that you may already own. After I got engaged, I asked the jeweler for a cleaner recommendation for my new diamond engagement ring. He said the best product to buy is Dawn dishwashing liquid. I literally make a small slurry of it in my palm, gently rub my ring around in it, and then rinse it off. Or for a better cleaning, add some Dawn to a small container and let your ring soak overnight. Your diamond will look shiny and new every time. I keep a small bottle of Dawn in my bathroom, so it's handy every time. And I added a small bottle of Dawn to a recent engagement gift I purchased, and the bride-to-be loves it too.
Ooh.
Well, I happen to have Dawn. And so last night I did this with my wedding rings, and I put it in a container and I let it soak for like 5 or 6 hours while I was taking my children to their outdoor, weekly outdoor activity. I did have to call my husband who was home doing the dishes and be like, there's a cup of soap with my rings in it. Like, don't throw it out, which he didn't. And I will say the Dawn made them sparkle.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And they look very good today. So hot tip. I haven't had these things cleaned in years. So thank you, listener. Hot tip.
That is a hot tip.
Love me some Dawn.
Great. Great tip.
You don't love yourself some Dawn, Dora?
You're not I do. I haven't tried this, so I can't speak to it.
Do you use Dawn for your dishes?
I don't.
Well, you're missing out.
We use Method. Oh.
I'm a Dawn diva, as they say. So.
Oh, look at you.
All right, Dory, we're going to pause it up, and then we're going to burb. So.
All right.
BRB.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
All right. I'll read this next email. Hi, Kate and Dory. I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of years now. It has been a real bright spot in my week, especially when I first started listening. I lost my husband to brain cancer nearly 4 years ago when my daughters were 2 and 4 years old. We had many couple friends and would hang out with the friends on our own as well. These were long-standing friendships. After his death, these friends continued to embrace myself and my girls. I started dating about a year after he passed away. I met and fell in love with my current partner a little over 2 years ago. He is divorced and has 50-50 custody of his 3 boys. I'm 40 and he's 44. This summer, we bought a house together in between us. We lived 45 minutes apart and got engaged. Congratulations. Yay. He has a lot of friends that are married and have kids, but doesn't have couple friends. He is very charismatic and has embraced my friend groups as they have him. However, he has mentioned that it is a little hard for him and that he feels a bit out of place as my husband was beloved by so many of these people and we have a long history that he was not a part of. Lots of inside jokes, stories, etc. Long-winded, but this brings me to the question. How do we make couple friends together now? His boys are 12 to 17 age range, and their parents' friends are tight with their mom and stepdad. In our new community, my girls are in activities, but with COVID, it's hard to meet people. There are two other families with kids on the block, but with COVID-19, especially this time of year, we're in Minnesota, we can't be outside much. When life goes back to somewhat normal, do you have suggestions for how to meet couple friends? I'm very much an extrovert, so this is something that is important to me in a relationship.
Oh, this is so hard.
This is hard.
Well, first of all, congratulations on getting engaged, buying a house. That's really so exciting.
Yeah.
But making couple friends, what a freaking challenge, because it's two and two. You've all got to be in sync.
Yep. It's very hard.
My husband and I have like awkwardly asked other couples out to dinner. But we both feel very awkward. We're also both kind of awkward and shy a little bit. So I feel like we don't quite know how to like not flirt with other couples, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
Friends. I don't know. Have you had success in this realm, Dory?
Well, it's hard. I feel like because scheduling is often a real challenge. Like, I feel like we've tried to hang out, like you and I have tried to hang out with our spouses and it's been tough.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. You're juggling four people.
Yeah. You're juggling all these schedules and kids and it's very hard. Also like, we've made a few couple friends as a couple. What I was going to say though is I would like to gently suggest that you let go of the idea that you're going to recreate the same types of couple friends with your new husband that you had with your old husband. I think that there is a kind of unique bond between friends that have been friends for a long time. Mm. As you say, these were longstanding friendships. That's just not going to be the case with friends that you make with your new husband. They are not going to be longstanding friendships.
Yeah,
they're going to be different kinds of friendships.
They will be longstanding one day, but not
exactly.
Right
they yeah. might be great friendships, but it's also, I think, unlikely, possible, but unlikely that you're going to have a similar group of couple friends. I think it's more likely that you're going to have like individual couple friends.
Yeah,
so
right.
It does sound a little bit to me like you're sort of hanging on to this idea that you can almost like replicate. And maybe I'm misinterpreting this, but this was sort of what I got from this email, that like you might be hanging on to this idea that you can almost like recreate the same types of friends that you had with your
first
husband who passed away, yeah, as you do with your current husband. So I think just like acknowledging that these friendships are just going to look different is and important.
They might take a while to warm up. I mean, you know,
because yeah,
you said, you say there, you know, well, first of all, we're in a fucking pandemic where you can't,
yes,
be with people. So,
yes,
and you're in Minnesota where it's not like here in LA where like we could be outside and kind of apart and still chat with people year round. Like you're about to be into like, you're already in serious winter. So I would say, like you say, when life goes back to normal, I would say like focus on these two families with kids on the block. If you like the adults, just get to know them, like have them over for pizza in the backyard and hang out and get to know them. And then maybe like suggest an activity. I would also say, like you said, your girls are in activities. Maybe there are some parents you meet at that. Maybe there's like one parent you like that you like get to know at school drop off who you're like, no, they seem reasonable.
Yeah,
but
totally.
It is really hard. And you, like any friendship, you know, when these new friendships, they have to really, they take time to grow. And it can be very, I think you're right, Dory, like my husband and I have some couple friends that we've known for 20 years almost now. And like, it's very different. Like, and we met them when we were young and like dipshits staying out till 4 a.m. You know, like we have a completely different relationship than a couple we might meet now at our kids' school or whatnot. Like they're meeting
totally.
Us. So that is tricky. So I think, you know, just be patient.
Yeah.
And I would just go slow. Like yep. focus on a couple, set your sights on a couple targets, you know, and just like kind of take some time to get to know them and realize that it might take a while.
Yeah.
And I understand, look, I love people too. I'm a shy extrovert. And so this is important to me too. And I see you. And I commend you for like putting in the effort. And also hearing your husband's expressing his challenges that it can be a little hard to hang out with your friend group that you shared with your first husband. Like that's, you're doing a good job listening to your partner.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also a really good point.
Yeah. And those are so many complicated relationships to navigate. And it sounds like you're doing a wonderful job and are really.
Yeah. It's a lot of dynamics.
Yeah. You sound very thoughtful and lovely. I wish we could hang out here, but you live too far away.
Alas.
Alas. All right, Dor, let's just wrap it up here with this voicemail because it's a fascinating suggestion that I'm intrigued by.
All right, let's do it.
Hi, Kate and Dory. I never thought I would call in and do this. I don't know why, but I'm really excited to be doing so. And I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for creating your podcast. I went through a divorce a couple years ago and I just didn't want to really see anyone. I didn't want to talk to anyone. Mm-hmm. And I would just walk my dog and cry. And I listened to self-care podcasts and yours would always make me smile during hard times. And the main reason I'm calling is because I heard Dory mention that she might try tennis again. And one really great gateway to tennis that my boyfriend and I have found in quarantine is pickleball. And it's easier than tennis to pick up. The materials are cheap. You can just buy some paddles and a ball. And you're socially distanced from others. It's so fun. It's a little bit more like ping pong. So if you are decent at racket sports, it's a great gateway. So give it a try. And yeah, we love you guys. And thank you so much for what you do. Bye.
Okay, love you too. This feels accessible to me. I am intrigued by pickleball.
Okay, go on.
I don't know. Tiny rackets. It looks like from what I've Googled, you're on like a smaller court. So it's like kind of like tennis, but like kids can play it. You don't need like actual like training. It's like ping pong tennis-ish. I don't know. This seems fun. I'm intrigued.
It does seem fun.
I would meet you for pickleball at some point.
Okay, so the court is the same size as a doubles badminton court.
Which, who knows what the hell that looks like? I don't know.
It looks like it's 20 feet by 44 feet.
Who else out there plays pickleball?
Courts can be constructed specifically for pickleball, or they can be converted using existing tennis or badminton courts.
There are more than 8,000 locations to play in the United States. Dory and I are both reading off of Wikipedia, unless you think we were just rattling off these facts.
I'm looking on the website.
Oh, for the official pickleball website.
Yes, the official pickleball website. I'm intrigued.
I am too. This seems fun. This looked really fun. I was going to do a little more exploring. Are tennis courts open right now in Los Angeles? They're not,
they
right?
Are. Oh, they are. They are open. You're only supposed to play with people from your household.
Oh, but I could take like my kids to go play pickleball.
Yes.
All right. Well, listener, you might have given me a new idea.
Anyway, all right.
That brings us to our suggested activity, which, you know, just thinking about pickleball, I just want to say, like, move your body for 15 minutes once this week.
I love it.
Yeah, just walk around your house. Do what our guest Louise Penny does if you want to run around your house. Just, you know, stretch, touch your toes. Does not need to be fancy or intense or anything, but just get in the bod. Move the bod.
Move the bod.
Move the bod. All right. Well, listen, listeners, you're the best. We love you. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Cheerio.